Joshua chapter 1, 1 through 9. After the death of Moses, servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. This is God's holy word. As we open the book of Joshua, we come to a book that is filled with God's covenant with Israel and his promises to them. And God wanted Israel to know the promises that he made to the forefathers. It's mentioned here, the promises given to your fathers and to Abraham, and that these promises would now be fulfilled in the conquest that God was going to give to his people. And he calls them to trust and to obey him. And he calls all of Israel and all of us to obey and to trust in the Lord. And God wanted his people to know that it was their responsibility to be obedient to his covenant. And this historical account in Joshua of the conquest of Canaan is given in the context of that covenant that God had made with his people. And it's spoken about here in terms of God's giving the people the land. Notice it says that he is giving them the land. They weren't going in as conquerors. They were going in as the people who were able to conquer the land and who were going to do the promises of God's word. Wait. Get rid of that. The people of God were to walk into the land as conquerors. They were to come into the land obedient to God's word, and they were to receive it by the promise of God. God's word assures Joshua that every step that they take, he was going to be with them. He was going to be with Israel. He was going to be there for them. And if he was with Israel and he was there for them, he's going to be there for us in our life, in all that we do. And the word of God is the only hope that we have as well for blessing, for life, and for all eternity, because it's God's word that gives us the expression of his will for our lives, his covenant faithfulness to his people, his desire to love us, to be gracious to us, and to give us all that is needed so that we might live in the light of his word. And so here God calls Joshua and the people of God to rely upon God's promises, to rest in the promises of God. Faith relies on the promises of God. That's what he is calling Joshua to do here, to be faithful, to trust and to obey, to direct that faith to God's word, the giver of the promise, the one who is able to give them this land. Notice all through here and all through Deuteronomy, all that God said was, I'm going to give you the land. I'm going to give you all of these things. This was not something that Israel thought of in advance and decided, you know what, we ought to gather ourselves together. We ought to go over to the land of Canaan. We ought to throw out all those giants. No, they were afraid of the giants. They feared the giants. They feared the land and the giants, and they went through that wilderness experience as a result. But God says to them, I'm going to give it to you, because God is able to do that. And he reminds Joshua of his promise. And he says in verse 5, no man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. And just as I was with Moses, remember it opens by saying after Moses died. So this is immediately after the death of Moses and the memory of Moses, where they celebrated or they remembered his death for a period of about a month. And he says, now it's time to go into the land. And I was with Moses, I will be with you. And notice he says, I will not leave you or forsake you. God is there with his assurance to Joshua that he's going to do everything that's necessary to get the people of Israel into the land according to his infinite power, his majesty, and his glory. And Joshua would be familiar with that, because remember, he was Moses' assistant early on. You can read about that in Exodus and in other places. He was the one that assisted Moses. He was the one that was with Moses when he went up the mountain to meet with God. He went up and he waited for Moses as Moses entered into that presence of God and received the Ten Commandments. But he was with Moses in that experience. He was one of the generals of the army, and now he is appointed to be the one who leads the people of Israel in the power and the majesty of God, which he was experienced with observing it and seeing it, and he knew it, and now he is called to take that promise and apprehend it by faith, to trust in it, to rest in it, and to know that the land that was given by promise is going to be given to Israel by faith. They're going to rest in the promise of God. They're going to receive this promise by faith. And God says, I'm going to be with you. I will not forsake you. This was not a blanket insurance coverage for Israel to do whatever they wanted. It was an insurance, an assurance to Israel that God was going to be with them, and he was going to defend them, make them victors, and provide for them all that was needed. God was the one of source, the source of strength. And God was the one to which he pointed Joshua, and he encouraged Joshua to do everything that God had commanded in his word. All that he had was God's command and promise. And he believed by faith in that great promise. And that's what we are called to do as well, to trust in God's promises. We do that when we find ourselves in situations where we find ourselves powerless against the opposition of the devil, when we need encouragement to stand by faith in the promises of God. We need to rest in the promise of God. Do you have difficulty obeying even one particular aspect of God's will? It's believing all the promises of God, believing God's promise that he is with us, that we need to do, and it will be our strength to obey God's word. It's not our strength, it's not our ability, it's God's word, God's ability, it's his power. The one who said, look away from yourself, look to me. I will not forsake you. I am the one, God says, who will deliver you into the land of Canaan. And it's his strength, his glory, his power that gives the people of God the ability to go forward when they're standing there in front of that great river Jordan, wondering, how are we going to get across? They're reminded of the strength and the power of God, who could part the waves as he did with the Red Sea and allow them to go across and to conquer. And so they go forward in the life of faith that's lived in the light of the word of God. They are to believe the word of God, and they are to obey the word of God. And God gives us his revealed word so that we obey it. He reveals his will in his word. What did Joshua have to do when he entered the promised land? God simply told him what? Verse 7, you have the whole law. Verse 7 says, only be strong and very courageous. It doesn't say build up an arsenal. It doesn't say make a lot of swords. It doesn't say train your army to do this. Make them very courageous. Make them into Marines who will go forward. Do this or do that. No. He says, be careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. And then notice he clarifies that. He says, don't turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. You know, that's what I call, God says, don't fudge on my word. Don't turn to the right a little bit. Don't turn to the left. You know, well, maybe I don't have to go all the way with this law of God, all of the things that it says in there. Maybe I can do this much. No, God says, do what? All of the law of God. The law of God, it's the Torah, as it's referred to in Hebrew, which refers to all of the books of the first five books of the Bible. And the Torah always is a word that means the way. It's a simple phrase or simple word, Torah. It means the way. It points out God's way. It points out God's demands of righteousness for those who are in covenant relationship with Him. If you want to summarize the Torah, the way, and ask what does the Torah mean, the way, it's God's demands of righteousness for those who are in a covenant relationship with Him. That's what the Ten Commandments are. That's what the explanation of the Ten Commandments are as you go on in Deuteronomy. And that's what all of the Torah, all five books of the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, are called the Torah. It is God's way of life, and it's the way in which we are to live. It's the way in which we are to submit our lives by faith to the commandments of God, not just the ones we like, not just the ones that are convenient at the moment, but all the way. Don't turn to the right or to the left. Avoid accommodating yourself to unbelief, saying, well, we don't need to be too precise. That's what a lot of people do with God's word. They sort of fudge it a little bit. They say, well, for the modern day, as though the Bible is only related to the old time. For the modern day, we can do it a little bit differently because, of course, we're so much more sophisticated now and we're so much better in our understanding. No, God says, don't fudge, don't go to the right, don't go to the left. Do everything that is in His word. Joshua couldn't pick and choose what he wanted to obey. He had to obey everything. And that's what we're called to do as well, to obey God's law. Nominal profession is very easy to make and maintain. A nominal profession is just where a person says, well, I believe in the word of God. And everybody says, well, that's a good thing. But when you believe in the word of God and you see the texts that speak of thou shalt not kill, does that mean you that now stand against abortion? Oh, well, today we live in a modern day. We go to the right or to the left a little bit of what the Bible says, and because we have a better understanding and we believe in women's rights and so on and so forth, we allow for abortion. Some churches are even advocating this. Well, it's not what God says. He says, do what I said in my word. Real, true Christianity is to be true to all of God's word, because the word of God calls us to forsake the world, to crucify our old nature, to lead a godly life. That calls us to obedience to all of God's word and to a faith that rests upon it. We are to rest our faith in God's word. It is an unqualified, absolute, sovereign authority over all of life. That means it regulates what we speak, what we look at, what we enter into our heart, our thoughts, our desires. We see that when we read the Psalms. We see that when we read much of God's word. The word of God commands us to have a submission of all of life to the Word of God. That means we give God's Word supreme place in our lives and do as it says here in verses 8 and 9, let it be the object of what? Our meditation. We are to meditate on the Word of God. That's what's commanded in verse 8. And notice, he gives this command to whom? To Joshua. Now remember, Joshua is the leader of the nation. He is like the president. He is the leader of the nation. He's got a lot of responsibilities. He's got a lot of time on his hand, but that time is probably caught up with judicial cases that are brought to him like they were brought to Moses. Remember that? There's going to be times when he's going to have to decide what's going to happen and what direction they're going to take and so on and so forth. Here's a busy man. He's got a lot of responsibilities on his hand. Who could have been busier than Joshua, the head of state? But what does God call Joshua to do? Doesn't give him the leadership role handbook that says this is how to be a good leader. He gives him his word and he says, make sure that you do what? Meditate upon it. Are you too busy? How much busier could you be than Joshua or than Moses? But Joshua and Moses set their attention and their time on meditating on the Word of God. And God says that not only to Joshua, but he says that to Israel in Deuteronomy 32, 46. He tells us, take time to learn God's Word. You go to the New Testament, it says in Colossians 3, verse 2, set your affection on things above. What occupies our hearts? The thing that should occupy our hearts should be the things of God. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Jesus was one who knew God's Word. Jesus was one who knew the Word of God and applied the Word of God in his life, in his earthly ministry. And we see that time and time again. Joshua was to apply the Word of God. And when the Word of God is with us, we will not neglect its truth. We will live under that to the joy that God gives us. Remember, the psalmist says in Psalm 119, verse 97, oh, how I love thy law. In Psalm 119, he says, I delight in your commands because I love them. If you go to the New Testament in John 13, it says, if you love me, what? Keep my commands. That's the emphasis of the Word of God. Trust him and obey him. Keep his commands. And meditating upon God's law brings blessing. It's God's way, the way of obedience. It's the way of bringing spiritual success in the warfare that we face as we belong to Christ and we are engaged in spiritual warfare against the enemy. It brings, as the psalmist says, great reward. Here in Joshua 1, verse 8, it will bring what? Success. Because the path of obedience is the path of blessing. If, like Joshua, we are to be led of the Lord, then by faith we must lay hold of his promises and live by the precepts of his word. Or as the hymn writer puts it, we must trust and obey. There's no other way. Trust and obey. Amen.